The fruit of the Spirit is patience. And I know immediately that once you put like a bag up here that nobody can see what's in it, you're all impatient to find out what's in it. And if I left it here, you would be more preoccupied for the next 30 minutes about what's in the bag than maybe what's in the Word of God. So I'm gonna tell you what's in the bag. Instant oatmeal. Instant pudding and pie filling. And in essence, instant coffee. You get a sense that our culture doesn't like to wait. We have instant this and instant that, and I'm sure if you go certain places, you can get instant credit. Buy it now. Take it home with you. Enjoy it. Keep paying for it for the next couple of months or years, and pay way more for it over time than you would otherwise. We're in a hurry. Our culture is in a hurry. And we don't like to wait. I like going to Aldi. Some of you know that. Vicki says, do you want to go to Aldi? And I said, sure. What's on the list? The list will typically come back. Well, I'll come back with much more than was on the list. Because Aldi is just fun because you never know quite what they have. But when you come to check out, this would be at Aldi or any grocery store, you have this, well, what line do I want? They don't yet have the bank line where it just forms one line and you get to the next available teller. You have to kind of judge which line's moving quicker. I don't really know anybody who intentionally picks the longest line. If you do that, I would like to meet you. Same kind of thing, you know, you come off the turnpike. You have this plaza and lots of lanes. I don't know very many drivers who say, well, that's the longest one. I'm going to pick it. In fact, you might get a little frustrated. You pick the short one, and then that's the guy that doesn't have the change, or he drops the quarter on the ground. He's got to open the door, and he can't open it because he's right up against the booth. And it goes on, and you think, well, okay, I pulled up, and okay, this guy is gone. The next guy is gone. The next guy is gone. And you start getting a little frustrated. You pick the short line at the grocery store, and what happens? That's, I need a price check. Person in front of you has three items. And one of those doesn't have, and they can't tell how much it is, and we get frustrated. We get irritated. We get impatient. And yet what I find in the Bible is the fruit of the Spirit is patience. I have yet to find instant fruit. If you found that at the grocery store, let me know. But you don't get instant fruit. And anybody know what this is? What kind of fruit this is? Pomegranate. You ever eaten a pomegranate? You don't even eat a pomegranate instantly. I had to watch a YouTube video to figure out even how to open this up and get the seeds out and all, because Eden wanted one, so we bought one, and she said, well, how do you cut it? And I said, well, I don't know. I've never dealt with a fresh, real pomegranate before. I usually just get pomegranate juice. And so it takes a little while. As opposed to a banana, that's almost instant food right there. You just kind of open it and eat it, and this one takes a little more time. So, but there is no such thing as instant fruit. Fruit grows. It takes time. And if you have a garden, you know that. You plant things, and then you wait. And then you wait. And you wait some more. And you think, is this thing ever going to bear? Maybe eventually it does. And the fruit of the Spirit is patience. So how do you nurture patience? Well, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Hopefully by now this text is becoming familiar to you. Galatians 5, and we'll start our reading at verse 13. It's on page 1239, 1239. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgy, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Not sure I want a show of hands, but how many of you felt impatient this week? Okay, you can put your hand up if you want. There are feelings that result. Impatience itself is a feeling, and it produces other feelings of irritation and often anger. The question is, what did those accomplish? What did you accomplish by irritation and anger and impatience? Did your feelings of impatience promote peace and joy? Did they further healthy relationships? Does impatience express love? Again, our day and age is an age of instant gratification. And it doesn't like a Keurig, just principally. He said, because there's an event in making coffee. That's the way my friend thinks about this. He says, there is something to getting beans and grinding beans, and you take time over coffee. And it takes a little while to perk. Then you enjoy it with your friend. He said, now it's just, hey, we have a Keurig, instant coffee. Not a problem to make it. He says, we lose something of the weight and of the event of coffee. Maybe you'll never think about making a cup of coffee the same way again after that. I don't know. But for him, it was this event, and he thinks this steals something. And then I discovered Keurig has now come out with a cold machine. So you can make a cold beverage. And now it's come out with soup. You can get, I don't know if it's Campbell's soup in this, but it's something similar. I thought, okay, it's becoming ridiculous. We have fast food. People get irritated waiting in line in their car. It's fast food. And then how many of you remember dial-up for your computer? Now we're irritated to wait even a second. So our culture is losing more and more the virtue of patience. We do not like to wait. We want. And what we want now. And if we don't get it now, watch out. I'm irritated. I'm angry, and I'm going to get what I want now, no matter what it costs. But the fruit of the Spirit is patience. Or it is long-suffering. Think about that word for a moment. It's a good synonym for patience. Long-suffering. Forbearance. To bear over a long period of time. The state of emotional quietness in the face of unfavorable circumstances. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And yet, far, far too often, we are irritated and impatient, and impatience leads to trouble. How many accidents might be attributed to impatience? How many mistakes are attributed to impatience? Math mistakes on a math test often come from, I hurried through it. I didn't take time to do the problem. Results in often more work later when we're impatient. How many have lost what little resources they have, hoping to get rich quick? There's a whole industry in that. We call it the lottery and Powerball, and the people who play those numbers are the ones who can least afford it. And so what little they have, they lose because they're hoping to get it now. Closer to home, impatience causes us to hurt those who are dearest to us when we think they're slow to understand. If you're a teacher, you know some of that frustration. I've gone over something in class, and a hand goes up because they didn't get it. And I think three or four times over, maybe you should have gotten it by now. And it has to be a challenge to not become impatient with students. It was a challenge not to become impatient with your children or your spouse, your neighbor. We become impatient when we think others don't give us the attention we think we deserve, when others are inefficient, or when others pester us. If you've had children, maybe you know a little sense of that impatience. That when little children come to you over and over and over and over again about something, we as their parent can become impatient. Now, maybe that's just me, and maybe you're seeing more about me, and that never happened to you. Wonderful. I was an impatient father in many ways. We get impatient when others won't change according to our timetable. We have an agenda. Numbers chapter 21, we show that impatience is destructive. The people of God are coming out of Egypt, and they're on the way to the promised land, and we're told they grow impatient with Moses and with God. They start grumbling. So impatience can often lead to grumbling and complaining. And the result is that God sends fiery, poisonous serpents into the camp because he's heard their impatience and their grumbling. And he disciplines them, and they learn patience. Come to 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Or as the King James puts it, love suffers long. What's your tolerance level for suffering? How long can you suffer? How long can you demonstrate patience before, okay, your patience is done? It's a challenging fruit but it is a fruit. But it's a painful one. It's costly. Because as with most of these fruit of the Spirit, patience demands self-denial. It demands self-denial. It is long-suffering. And we don't like that. I don't know many of us who like to suffer. And if we do suffer, we want to do it quick. Get it over with. And yet patience can be drawn out. The suffering can take days and weeks and months and years. Patience demands a certain level of maturity. It's children that continually ask in the trip, are we there yet? Yeah, you guys have had that experience of driving from Colorado with little children. And they're impatient. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? When will we stop? When are we going to eat next? When are we going to... There's just this ongoing... We used to try to tell our kids to give them a sense of trips. Like how many times they could watch something. So they knew Star Wars. So say we're driving to Syracuse. Think three Star Wars. They understood that. That's going to be a while. We could watch that movie three... No, they didn't. We didn't have a video player in the car. We were starting to give them the sense of... Yeah, you could watch the entire trilogy of the first three Star Wars movie, and then we still might not be there. You watch the extended version of Lord of the Rings, yeah, and we still won't be there. Wow. Okay, this trip's going to be a long time. So you have to try to communicate that to the kids. Maybe we have to do that with each other, too. Because we set up certain expectations, and when they are not met, or when we think our rights are trampled, we grow impatient and become angry. We think each of us has a right to his or her own schedule. So we believe that everybody else will be on time. Or if they're not, they should be, and they should feel bad if they're not. And I might actually try to help them to feel a little bad if they make me wait. Because somehow my time is more important than theirs, and it just doesn't matter why they were late. You got a fire? Well, you should have the fire on your own time, not on my time. You got a flat tire? You know what? We have those expectations that I should never have to wait because my schedule is so important. I have a right to my agenda. So I will achieve this by then. And if I don't, I become frustrated, impatient. I have a right to my preferences. And we assume, therefore, that everybody else will defer. They will see the wisdom of my preferences and will agree. Again, I think I know people, because I am one. We think we have a right to obedient and mature children, and they will never embarrass us. And if I have to do something out of my agenda to fix this, now I get impatient. Of course, every child is thinking, and I have parents that will never embarrass me. And yeah, we know how that goes. And the sparks fly and the problems come when my rights and my desires and my agenda and my control and my success clash with your sense of your rights and your desires and your agenda and your control and your success. So as long as you and I concentrate on me and our rights, we will have problems. But living patiently with others in the kingdom of Christ demands that we give up those rights. We give up those sense of entitlements. But we don't. Some of us even know that intellectually. But we don't because our sense of self-importance is so strong. And it gets in the way. If wronged, we will try to get even. Classic example of that is 1 Samuel 25, where David is perceived, he's perceived that he's been wronged by a man named Nabal. And he tells all his men to strap on their swords, because Nabal has not given David what David thinks he's entitled to. I have protected Nabal, and now he's just kind of spurned me. So we're going to go and kill all the males in his household. It's a little overkill. And yet David gets so incensed that his rights have been trampled that he's ready to go and destroy an entire household because he's been insulted. You might want to read 1 Samuel 25 this afternoon. And where we differ, we tend to pass judgment. Look at Romans 14 for a moment. Just turn back in your Bibles to the left a couple of pages to 1206. Impatience is nothing new. Obviously, Paul is writing to the Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit. He wrote to the Romans, chapter 14, "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him." That's what he says, show patience. Forbear with one another. You don't have to be right, and you don't have to fix the other guy. But we want to. That's our temptation, is to fix the other person. And then look at 15, Romans 15. "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up." What's he saying? You have an obligation to show patience. You who are strong, you who are mature, you who are, well, to use the political term, the adults in the room. Act like it. Show patience and forbearance and suffer long. But as long as we cling to our rights, we will never become patient. We will squelch the development of this fruit. And we do that because the pain and the cost to our pride is just too great. So how do we bear this fruit? How do we allow the Spirit to do that? Well, we've already been singing it. Consider God's great patience. Patience is part of his nature. He is compassionate and slow to anger. God's character is one who suffers long. His character is one of forbearance. That's the place to start. Union with Christ. Us in him and he in us. Because God's patience, his patience means salvation for you and me. Because his patience is directed to us. He could justly condemn us. And yet he showed patience. He might have destroyed Adam and Eve in the garden after they had sinned against him. He had every right to do that. And yet he demonstrated forbearance. He's allowed the human race to continue. God has tolerated our rebellion. He's been patient with our defiance. He has been long-suffering with our depravity, permitting us to live until we might come to a knowledge of the truth and come to repentance. Turn now to the right, to 2 Peter. Turn a few pages to the right in your Bible. Or Peter highlights this very fact in 2 Peter chapter 3 on page 1300. where he says this in verse 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, as if he's indifferent, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And then look at verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation. Is that how we think about the patience of our Lord? He's showing patience that we might come to a knowledge of the truth, come to repentance. So in Jesus, the practice of God's patience is made very, very clear. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. But God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that through him the world might be saved. So to grow in patience, we need to consider him. Jesus, who became the object of God's vengeance, who for us suffered condemnation, who in our place became forsaken, that we might have life. God has not dealt with us as our sins deserve. So now those of us who have experienced the patience of God in Christ then are equipped by his Holy Spirit to be patient with others. So part of the key here is if you are generally impatient, the question has, have you really experienced the patience of God? Are you impatient because you've not really come to know that patience that God has shown to you? Because if he's shown it to you, then you can show it then to others. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It comes out of our union with Christ, but it is also an obligation. So Paul, writing to the Colossians in Colossians 3:12, says, put it on. Which tells me not only is it a fruit, but it can also be a choice. Put on a heart of patience. So we actively, consciously meditate on our own need for God's patience, and we can watch the fruit develop in our relationships with one another. So it's fascinating about this list of the fruit of the Spirit. Think about these for a moment and think, how many of them could you demonstrate by yourself? If I'm by myself, patience is really not a problem. Right? It's when I get around other people that I get impatient. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Again, by yourself, love is really not much of a problem. Get around some other people, love becomes a problem. Joy. Well, that one, you might have some difficulty by yourself. But other people, we allow them to steal our joy. Peace. Again, by yourself, you can generally be at peace. People disrupt my peace. All the way through the fruit of the Spirit. They're lived out in community. So it's a patient community, not just patient individuals. So patience means that we won't exact our revenge for some wrong, perceived wrong done us. We can wait for God. Paul writes that in Romans 12. Don't take your own vengeance, but leave room for God. Return good for evil. How can you do that? Well, I can wait on God to deal with the circumstance in his timing. I don't have to do it myself. It means I don't need to fix others, but I can bear with them, accepting them as they are. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 for a moment. And this is one you might want to just kind of highlight. He says, I'm urging you, this is Ephesians 4, the second half of verse 1, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There are all kinds of fruit right there. But what? I'm forbearing to preserve peace. I don't have to have it my way. I can defer. And we can get along as long as we defer to one another. We don't have to always agree, but we can bear with one another, accepting others as they are. It also means that ultimately there are no hopeless cases. There are no hopeless cases. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Really? I got to be patient with the faint-hearted? Why can't he be strong like me? That's really what we think. I have to help the weak? Why can't they be strong like me? He says, be patient with them all. This is the practice of patience grounded in Christ. How long did he put up with his disciples? So often they were arguing, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? In the presence of Jesus, they're discussing, who's the greatest? We wait on him. We meditate on him. We see the cross, and we go to the cross, and in the cross, we can be patient with one another. Be patient with our neighbors. We can be patient with our community. I wish Wilkinsburg would fix overnight. It won't. And it may take another generation for it to be restored. But as we have been treated by God in Christ, so we will treat others in the power of his Spirit. And if need be, that might mean repentance. Some of you may be impatient. The call to you is to repent. To repent. To seek forgiveness from those that you've been irritated with, or offended, or did whatever in your impatience. To then purpose new obedience by faith in Christ, denying yourself and gladly following Jesus. And then gladly showing the forbearance to others that he has shown with you. That's the key. That's the dynamic. But you can't show to others what you haven't first received. So if you need to come and experience the patience of God today in Christ, he says, come. Come. And if you need to learn how to put that on, he says, learn of me, and I'll teach you. Let's pray. Lord, some of us today are, well, we're impatient people. And we live in an impatient culture. And we act out the deeds of the flesh in our impatience. Envy, dissensions, factions, fits of anger. And yet you say the fruit of the Spirit is patience. Holy Spirit, bear that fruit in us. And we purpose today in your name, by your power, to bear this fruit, to put it on, to choose patience. We need your help, but we have a choice to make, even today, to demonstrate patience, to go the way of the cross, to go the way of Christ, to follow him, to deny our rights. Say, I will put others first. And by you strengthen us, we will become patient people. And we will become a patient community in which we bear with one another, where we encourage the faint-hearted, where we strengthen the weak, where we show patience with all, and you will be glorified. This we purpose in the name of Jesus and in the power of your Spirit, Lord. Amen. Now we have our prayer time, and I'm turning this over to Bruce and Ian.